I want God's way to be my way. I sigh, Jenny, here below. For there is no other highway.
Welcome to Reflections on Faith. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for another wonderful opportunity that you are giving to us right now, being praise seated here, Lord, to reflect, to meditate, and to share regarding all these wondrous, wonderful things that, Lord, you have done for us.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And Lord, in all these things we see your love, because when you deal even with one person, it is not just because of that one person, but for the love you have for other people.
Yeah.
The people which you want to bless through that vessel. So we are so thankful that, Lord, you can give us this opportunity to sit in this place and just enjoy this fellowship. And we're not just enjoying the fellowship in here, but with many other people who are listening to these things, and those who are writing, and people phoning in to testify of these amazing, wonderful things. And now, Lord, may you bless this session of the podcast. Bless all those who are listening. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray with thanks in our hearts. Amen. Well,
thank you, Lord.
Brother Rolf and Sister Grace, welcome to this session of the podcast. I'm so glad to have you here.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. And I want to begin with reading Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1.
Yeah.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I was feeling like, you know, reading this portion, because what I see, Brother Roth, in your testimony, it's a testimony with so many events, but all of them point to one thing, and that is faith.
Amen.
And my observation has been, your ministry has really been focusing and emphasizing on that.
Yes.
Yeah, we are living in a time where there is so much that is called faith.
Yeah.
But I'm so thankful to God that in the midst of confusion, in the midst of all sorts of things, God still has a way to have his voice reach out to his people.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, for them to come to a place where they have a correct understanding of what God desires of us.
That's true.
And the church in Norway is called Believers Assembly.
Yep.
Yeah, and the first time I think you came to Zambia, it must have been a card which I saw. That's the first time I think I saw your fellowship is also called Believers Assembly, you know.
Yes.
And apart from it just being a name, I think your sermons really bring to life what Believers Assembly should mean.
Yeah.
A church should be a place where a people whom God has been working on their hearts, they've come to believe, not just intellectually, but God has touched their lives, and that culminates into an assembly.
That's true.
And that's a blessing. And in the last podcast, we're looking at a time where, you know, you've come to the message of the hour, and even on the side of the time when you had left the denomination, and now you came into this environment where Brother Branham's message was well known.
Amen. Yeah.
That was a new phase, so to speak, of your life's journey.
Absolutely.
And I would really love to hear how did it go? How did the Lord lead you from those early years when you were having those experiences to a time where you now had an assembly, believers' assembly, in Vedo? Because for you to have an assembly, I think God had led you to a point that now you're not just moving from place to place, or someone saying, come, you minister here. For it to be an assembly, there are now people who are sitting down and they are ready to receive that which God has put in your heart. How did that journey unfold for you to end up in that place?
Well, when we got to that time, when we left the convention in Norway in 1973, we met Brother Jackson, and of course I told about the breakdown of the car and how that we could change the engine. And all these stories, they were basically experienced when we were more or less alone, because we were kicked out of the assemblies that did not believe in Brother Branham's message. So we started really from the south after that man that we told about the daughter who wanted to give her money. After that happened, we actually started from blank, from zero, from nothing. Here we have no an experience. We have seen a lot of things, and now we're starting our way back up north to the city of Trondheim, where we lived at that time. And of course now we were outspoken among the Pentecostal people, so they didn't want anything to do with us. The friends that we used to have, they shunned us. And of course it was our choice, because we wanted to believe the scriptures. As I know, and now it's been a year with a lot of things happening. From I heard the name William Branham the first time, and up till now, I was really ready. And I said to my wife, maybe we'll just be alone, but we know what we believe. But here, in the fall part of the year of 73, there were some of the Pentecostal young ones that we learned to know a little about, and some of them lived in Verdal, the very city we are living in now. And they was puzzled, why don't Rolf and Grace show up in any service anymore? Because now they started looking for us. And one day there was one couple that came knocking on the door, and they said, where are you at for this time? Because we don't see you anymore. And then I just had to tell them that we were actually not welcoming back in the Pentecostal church anymore, because we have learned to know of a message that we really cherish very much. We love it. Yeah, and we were rebaptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they got shocked and said, what? Is that possible? I said, well, that is the scriptures. And if you'd like to know more about it, I said, I have a few pamphlets here, booklets of William Branham. So you can take some of them. Take them with you home and read. And if you are interested, then we can talk it over.
Just before you go any further, you talk about the way they were shocked when they heard you talk about baptism.
Rebaptized.
Being rebaptized. I don't know whether it was the same situation in Norway. With our situation here, when, because I also came from a Pentecostal background. In my Pentecostal experience, as it was then and as it is still now, baptism is something rarely talked about. It seems it doesn't carry much importance.
Okay.
And so when I heard about baptism in Jesus' name, well, it's among central teachings, you know. And I had this experience of telling maybe friends who were Pentecostals.
Yeah.
They were equally surprised at looking at the scriptures again and seeing how important that thing was.
Yeah.
Was it a similar experience in Norway where you have Pentecostal churches? Yes, they know about baptism, but there isn't much importance attached to it, like it's an afterthought.
Well, I think that all the Pentecostals, they want people to baptize.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
I see.
So it was quite important.
Mm.
But here we have grown up in a Trinitarian environment.
Mm.
And so the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost was very, very important.
Ah.
Yeah. So when we cut out Father and Holy Ghost and we say in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they got upset.
I see.
So I'm like, oh, you are denying the Trinity.
Mm. Yeah. Especially now being rebaptized.
Yeah.
That.
Yes.
Okay.
So they, and it wasn't, but there are some beliefs that have, they say Jesus only. And that means that they make Jesus Christ God.
Right.
He's the Almighty God.
Mm. He's his own Father.
But to me, Jesus Christ was the Son of God.
Mm.
Yeah. But still, the whole New Testament, when it speaks about the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, it really means Son. It means the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm.
Father, Son, Holy Ghost, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm.
So therefore, to me, I always felt that the name of Jesus was the most important in baptism.
Mm.
So the people that came and visited, they were basically from Verdal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we had some meetings with them while we were in the Pentecostal church.
Mm.
Yeah. And now they got some pamphlets of Brother Branham.
That's the couple now who visited
you. Yeah, yeah. Mm. And then after 2 weeks, they came back.
Wow.
Knocked on the door. Said, we have read your literature, and this looks like it is the truth.
Wow.
And I think that we need baptism too.
Oh.
Can you re-baptize us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ?
Oh, okay.
I said, most certainly.
Mm.
And then we came with up with an idea, because this man that introduced us to Brother Jackson, to the Branham people, who lived in the West, he said, why don't you come here? Because I am an electrician, and I work in a hospital, and I have access to a pool, and we can baptize that people.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. So then we made an arrangement, and we took off for that city to get them baptized.
Okay.
Yeah. So the first couple, they got rebaptized and probably in the month of October, November of 73.
Wonderful.
And we started having fellowship with them.
Mm.
And then,
so it was more like home fellowship at that time?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they had brothers and sisters because they were a big family.
Mm.
And they went home and they testified that they were no baptized.
Mm.
And that shocked the rest of the family.
Wow.
And they wanted to know why.
Mm.
So they got some books of Brother Branham.
Mm.
And we told them by testimony how that we felt this is the way we should.
Mm.
And by the end of the year, we had 10 people baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Wonderful.
And among them is the ones you know, Oddvar and Nelly.
Who is that?
The oldest couple.
The oldest couple in our church.
Okay, okay, okay.
Remy's parents.
Oh, all right, okay.
Yeah.
Remy's parents, yeah. I know them.
Karina's parents.
Oh, wonderful.
And Remy's parents.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah. Okay. They were the... among the first ones that were...
That's brother and sister angels.
Yeah.
I know them by that name. Okay.
Yeah. So that made it really enthusiastic that we could get that many people.
Amazing.
In the beginning of our meetings. Mm. Yeah. So when we came into the new year, I remember one sister, she was highly pregnant. Mm-hmm. She was due to get to give birth.
Mm.
And this was New Year's Eve of that year, 73 into 74.
Mm.
And we baptized.
At she got
back. Yeah, 10.
Yeah,
that
she
get the daughter. Yeah, and she was 4 days from getting birth.
Oh.
Giving birth.
And she got baptized.
And she got re-baptized there.
Well, that was a revival.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
And that, and if you remember Sister Evie,
that Viggo
and Evie in Norway. Yeah, in our church in Burdock.
He
is the song leader.
Okay, yeah.
And his sister,
okay,
she was the one who was born on January 4th.
Oh,
yeah. The mother gave birth.
I think this time when I come to Norway, I'll have a fresh visit because now I know the stories behind the faces. Wonderful, beautiful.
Yeah, so we really had a wonderful time.
Which year was that?
That was the break between 73 and 74.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it was this year when you were celebrating, is it 50 years of the church?
Yeah. We started on that later on.
Okay.
But we started having house meetings.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so the Verdal people came to Trondheim.
Mm.
And we hosted them in our home for the weekend. So we laid out beddings on the floor so everybody could be accommodated.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And then we went to Verdal for the next weekend. So we shifted between Verdal and Trondheim all the time.
Are these home fellowships you're talking about?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
The convention center.
Yeah. So, but that was in January it started.
Okay.
Yeah. And when I told about the convention and Brother Jackson, they didn't know anything about him because we were the only two that met at the first convention.
Mm.
So in the beginning there, we arranged that for the summer, we will start going down and we will be there in the convention.
So that will be the second convention you were attending for Brother Jackson.
Yeah, but Brother Jackson, he didn't come.
Oh.
Because I mentioned in the last podcast that when we were there, we were camping in a tent. And up there at the school, they had already started arguing with Brother Jackson.
Yeah, I remember you mentioning because of that you didn't know what was going on.
Yeah. Mm. So so when we came down there in 74, Brother Jackson wasn't there. There were other people.
Mm.
And they were only quoting Brother Branham. Mm. And I thought that was very strange.
Mm.
Of course, Brother Branham had a lot of good stories they could tell about him.
Mm.
But to edify people through the scriptures and the Bible to make a firm believer is a little different than just telling a story.
So describe to me what you mean by telling a story. Because what I have seen myself, when someone had a privilege of seeing Brother Branham's ministry, they would talk about how they hunted with him, how he prayed for someone.
Yeah.
Is that what occupied much of their talking?
Yeah, absolutely. And some of them hadn't even been with Brother Branham, but they were quoting. They found books of Brother Branham and started quoting sentences, trying to build up a message around everything that Brother Branham said.
And that is something which is very common. The spirit has continued on even today.
Yeah.
Where it's not the life of the word which is coming up in congregations.
That's true.
But people simply feel, well, they've quoted Brother Branham word for word, or maybe they hunted with him.
Yeah.
And sometimes people feel that qualifies them to get into ministry.
Yeah.
But we see something which was quite different in Brother Jackson's ministry.
Hey.
You know, I usually refer to the way the Lord Jesus Christ was. The disciples had been with him for over three years.
Yeah.
But that association never qualified them to become preachers.
No.
The Lord said they needed to wait.
upon the Lord.
For that baptism.
Yeah.
That experience.
Mm.
And that is what really made them to become witnesses.
Yep.
Obviously, if you could meet Peter and any of the disciples, they can tell you stories on how Jesus walked on the water and all that. But that's not really the witness Jesus was talking about.
No, that's true.
One only becomes a true witness when they have that experience.
Yeah.
And here you are now. You come to this convention.
Yeah.
And you can feel it, you can see it, that something is missing here.
Something was definitely missing.
Mm.
And I really felt sorry because this was not what I was expecting.
Mm.
The year before, you heard the word lively presented.
Right.
Yeah. Like a revelation.
Mm.
And no, it's only history.
Mm.
And I felt bad about it.
How long was that convention?
No, about close to a week.
I see.
Yeah. Maybe they started Monday, Tuesday, and had through the service through the weekend.
Mm.
So we were kind of disappointed that things went like that.
I see.
And I started feeling that what they were doing in that convention, that the leaders, they wanted to administer it in a more booklet way instead of scriptural way.
Mm.
Yeah. So I felt sorry for that.
Mm.
And our people from Verdal, they came also.
Mm.
So therefore, here I brought a group that were expecting to hear the word of God like Brother Jackson was preaching. And now we get something different. So that was a little shock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can imagine.
But that was them.
Mm.
So I said, well, I wasn't very happy, but we'll just have to go on.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I met another brother. He was translating Brother Branham's message into Norwegian.
Mm.
And he also had a very... a book-oriented way of seeing things.
Mm.
So I remember I talked to him because I was preaching out of the Bible.
Mm.
Yeah. And then he said to me, but Brother Strauman, you haven't read the message for very long.
Mm.
How can you preach? I said, well, because the Lord told me to.
Mm.
I feel led by the Lord to speak from the Word of God.
Amen.
Yeah, but you don't know everything Brother Branham said.
Mm.
And you have to know everything about Brother Branham before you can start preach.
Mm-hmm.
I said, no, that's not the way that I see it. And he said, well, but there's only Brother Branham who have the Holy Spirit.
Oh.
And I said, no. There's two. And not only one.
Mm.
He said, two? Yeah, me. Hey, the Lord said, go down there, you shall be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And of course, then he got shocked.
Mm.
What, you claim to have the Holy Spirit?
Oh, my.
Yeah. So he wasn't too happy about me then.
So you say that was part of
Yeah, that's what I said.
Hmm.
God was guiding him,
mm-hmm.
Brother Branham, and God is guiding me.
Hmm.
That just make two of us.
Yeah.
And of course, everyone that God wants to use needs to be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Of course.
That's according to Acts chapter 1.
Right.
Wait in town till you get filled with the Spirit.
Right.
And that's what the 12 apostles did,
mm.
plus the rest of them, 120,
mm.
together
yeah.
that day, started it.
Amen.
So I must say, I'm so glad that people can grow up
mm.
hearing the message
yeah.
and start with that.
Mm.
But to me, I was already led by the Spirit
mm.
before I ever heard the name William Branham.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when they started with all, it's all on Branham,
mm.
That didn't go home with me.
Mm.
I said, that's not true. God is leading and speaking to people all over the world.
Right.
Yeah. And they must be led by the Spirit.
Amen.
To continue this work.
Amen.
Yeah. So in a way it ended our fellowship with that brother
mm.
because he was not happy
mm.
with me
mm.
believing I had the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
mm. Yeah. So the year of 1974 went pretty fast that way. Yeah. And we are getting into 75.
Was that the time when Brother Jackson now came again?
Yeah. Then in 1975, in the month of July, they had another convention among the Branham people.
Mm.
And we went down there and said, well, we hope things will go better this time.
Mm.
Because the memory of last year wasn't mm. too good.
Mm.
And when we came down there, there were other people from the message
mm.
and they were even harder
mm.
tougher on quoting William Branham
mm.
and when I heard that I said, my Lord, this is not really working
mm.
how can they go on like this
mm.
yeah. So I said to my wife, hey, if this is the way they're going to continue
mm.
then let's not go down here anymore,
mm.
because this is not scriptural.
Right.
Yeah. mm. But during the convention, there was a brother who spoke to me and said, do you know that Brother Jackson is coming to Norway?
Mm.
I said, is he coming? Where? When?
mm.
Not just in a couple of weeks. And he's going to be in the city of Kristiansand.
Mm.
Because the people have called into a meeting
mm.
and he's going to be there. I said to Grace, well, we're close to that city anyway,
mm.
so let's go down to your parents and we'll wait on Brother Jackson to come and we'll be there.
Is it the same group which invited Brother Jackson or he was being called?
It was people among that group.
Mm.
But what I did not know was they were inviting Brother Jackson to challenge him.
Oh.
Yeah. To get back into the message.
Mm.
Yeah. But Brother Jackson was in the message.
Mm.
They just didn't understand his way of teaching.
Right.
Yeah. But I understood that in 73.
Mm.
Yeah. And now there's 2 years later.
Yeah.
So here, we'll just jump right into that.
Mm.
In Kristiansand on a Sunday afternoon, we're walking into a hall that was rented, and Brother Jackson came up to the front,
mm.
and he started preaching. And I was sitting on the first row.
Mm.
I said, my Lord, I'm now, because what he preached
mm.
was really good.
Mm.
And here he starts on a message. And I could see on him that he was struggling.
Hmm.
And I spoke to the Lord and said, Lord, why does that man have to fight so hard
hmm.
to preach such a simple message?
Yeah.
Because it was simplicity.
Hmm.
Everyone would understand this
hmm.
if they were a little spiritual anyway.
Right, right.
Yeah. And when he had said what he felt upon his heart,
mm.
and said amen, then they almost canceled the meeting.
Oh,
and all the brothers from Norway came up front
mm.
and they started circling the brother And they started to gun him down with all kinds of silly questions.
Oh, my.
And I was very interested because what's going on? Why are they...
So as they're circling him, you are in the audience part of the...
Yeah, I'm
watching,
there.
Watching what's going on.
Yeah, because now I wanted to know what's going on.
Mm.
And they started to say to Brother Jackson, lay it down, brother. That means whatever you preach that are not exactly word by word William Branham, lay it down.
Meaning stop.
Yeah, stop. Stop doing this thing.
Mm.
And Brother Jackson said, but this is what I do. This is the scriptures. This is the Bible. This is how Brother Branham expressed himself.
Mm.
Hey, Branham expressed himself through the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And any preacher that would ever express anything would have to do it through the scriptures by the Spirit.
Mm.
And they got hostile.
Mm.
And at the end of this session, they said to Brother Jackson that you are going to be excommunicated from here. We will never ask you to come to Norway again. And we will send words around to every believer in Norway not to receive you.
Hmm.
And I was sitting there. And there's a reason for me to say this.
Hmm.
I sit there and I said, Lord, what are they doing to this brother? He's the only one who makes sense.
Hmm.
And now they don't even want it.
Hmm.
So, Lord, what is this? And then the Lord spoke to me.
Hmm.
And he said, remember, the very Spirit that threw you out of the Salvation Army and the Pentecostal Church, that is the Spirit they're using against this brother.
That's nothing but the truth.
I said, Lord. But didn't Brother Branham say that this message cannot be organized?
Mm.
And the Spirit said back, yes, that's true. But people can organize around the message.
Amen.
They can pick up things from the message and make a circle around it and emphasize on these things.
Mm.
And I said, Lord, so that means I have no future here.
Mm.
Because I will not stand for the way those Norwegian brothers are treating Brother Jackson. And of course, I didn't know Brother Jackson yet. The only thing I knew about him, he baptized me and he gave me $30 for the help of the engine.
Yeah.
That was the only conversation I've had with that brother up till then.
Let's come back to the words which came to you. I think those are profoundly important.
Yes.
Yeah, because I think the fruits of what the Spirit behind these cult groups.
Yeah.
You know, it's very manifest now that the spirit of denominationalism is the same spirit.
Yeah.
All the time, I think that has manifested.
Yeah.
Okay. When a Catholic puts pictures of Mary, the saints, we call that idolatry.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when you see what has happened in the message circles, idolizing Brother Branham is called a revelation.
Yeah.
When Catholics do it, it's idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see it's the same spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah, the same spirit.
It is the same spirit.
That's very important.
Yeah. Mm. So when they had finished the conversation, everyone just rose up and left.
Hmm.
And Brother Jackson, his wife, Sister Opal, and this Norwegian brother who talked on the tape, the first tape that I ever heard.
Right, right.
They were standing there alone, left. And I walked up to them and I said, well, brothers, what is your next, where is your next meeting?
Hmm.
And Brother Jackson said, there is no next meeting. We're turning to go back to the States. I said, one service and you're back in the States. How can that be? Isn't there anywhere that there can be any other fellowship? And Brother Jackson said, well, we have an invitation to come to Sweden, but how things turns out here, I don't think we'll do anything more. We'll just go home. I said, Sweden? Where? Yeah. He turned me on, you know. And he said, well, there is a city in Sweden called Karlstad. I said, yeah, I know about that one. Not too far, I said. So, is that possible to go to Sweden? I said, oh, no, we don't have any transport or anything. So he was really resignized. He didn't want any more. You could feel it on him.
Yeah.
But I said, hey, if you don't have transport, I have a car. And of course, that was not the
the old one
okay. That changed my engine, because that was 73. Now we're in 75.
Okay.
And I had bought a Volvo.
Ah, all right.
Yeah. So I said, I can take you to Sweden. Yeah. So the three of you and me, we'll go together. Because Grace said, I'm going to stay home with my parents. And we had, this was 75, so we had Anya and Ariel, two kids at that time.
Okay.
And they stuck their heads together. The brother says that he want to take us to Sweden. What are we going to do? And then Brother Jackson turned around and he said, are you sure you want to bring us there? Yes, I said, definitely. I said, well, let's do it. We'll go to Sweden with you. Yeah. So we arranged to go, because this was Sunday, and then on Wednesday, they were going to come by with a car. And then I will pick them up and we'll go together to Sweden. So here on Wednesday we met, and now it was the brother, Norwegian brother, and brother's sister Jackson, and me in the car. So we drove and we took a ferry boat, because in Oslo you can go all the way around Oslo, or you can take a little shortcut, take a ferry boat. You're still in Norway, but you are on your way to Sweden. So we started kind of late, so when we got to Sweden it was already late at night, maybe 9-10 o'clock. And Brother Jackson said, I think that we need to find a place to sleep. So we found a hotel and stopped there. And Brother Sister Jackson had a room, and this Norwegian brother and me, we picked another room. So we had the same room. And here, this is important to me. When we came into the room and we sat down and we started talking. And here, the brother is telling me, I have a problem. Brother Branham has been dead for 10 years. And I cannot see that Brother Branham is the Malachi of 4.
Oh, so this is the brother you were with in the hotel room?
The same brother who gave me all the scriptures on Malachi and the ministry of Brother Branham. He is no denying everything. But he's an older man. He was much older than me. So he really started having big trouble with Brother Branham. And he said that, remember now, the 10 kingdoms in the book of Revelation, we thought that would be Europe. But when you look at the EU, now it is more than 10 nations. So there's nothing that goes together anymore. So he was really dismayed.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And to me, I was shocked. Not that I didn't believe in what Brother Branham preached, but a man that I've seen Brother Branham for 3 years.
Yeah.
3 years of his ministry from 63, 4, and 5.
Mm.
Yeah. And Brother Branham was even under inspiration. I spoke to that brother about an incident in Norway. So he knew exactly the gift in operation in Brother Branham's life.
Mm.
And now he couldn't even believe it.
Mm.
That was a shocker.
Yeah.
So when I woke up that morning and kept going to Sweden, I had a lot of things to think about.
Oh,
yeah. But, hey, I was too busy. We were going to have a good time.
Mm.
So we came to Karlstad. And we met the people, and we had Friday, Saturday, and Sunday together with them. And we had the most wonderful services. Brother Jackson preached wonderful messages, and I was very happy.
Amen.
And on Sunday,
this group in Sweden, they were more receptive.
Yeah.
Their hearts were open.
Their hearts were open. They were young people.
Mm.
Yeah. And I was very I'd never seen them before, so they were new to me.
Okay.
But we had a very good fellowship.
Mm.
And on when I brought Brother Jackson to the hotel on Saturday night, he said, tomorrow come early and have breakfast with us at the hotel. So I came early.
Sorry to take you back again, Brother Rolf.
Mm.
So this group, Brother Jackson is meeting in Sweden.
Yeah.
Was it a big group or it was just a house
meeting? No, it was a little group.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not a big group.
Mm.
But maybe there were 15, 20 people.
I see.
Yeah. So I didn't really count.
Mm.
But a smaller group.
A small group.
But very excited.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm very happy to see Brother Jackson. Yeah. And on Sunday morning, we sat down by the breakfast table at a hotel.
Mm.
And he looks at me and says, Brother Stroman, I have watched you. I remember 73 you were baptized.
Mm.
And now here, 75, and you are the only one that are standing by when everybody in Norway leaves.
Mm.
And he said, there is something about you.
Mm.
But remember now, I have seen a lot of young people with a zeal, a desire.
Mm.
And I've seen them very positive.
Mm.
And after a short while, you don't see them anymore.
Mm.
So I want you to think seriously of what you think about your life.
Mm.
Well, Brother Jackson was 25 years older than me.
Mm.
Yeah. So he said, I have seen people sitting on the fence, so to say, what side to jump down from.
Mm.
And he said, when you have decided, made up your mind, what you want to do with your spiritual life, can you please tell me what side you're jumping down on?
Mm.
Yeah. So just send me a little word, so I'll know what I have to deal with.
Wow.
Well, I didn't think I was sitting on. I jumped down for a long time ago. But for the respect of the brother, and he has seen so much of the craziness in the Branham movement, so therefore I felt that he was in his rights to say things like that.
Mm.
And I could take it.
Mm.
Because I have been thrown out of many places.
Right.
So I was ready.
Mm.
For whatever.
Mm.
So I came home to Verdal again.
Mm.
Now, still to Trondheim.
Mm.
We still lived in Trondheim. Mm. And I started praying and seeking God.
Mm.
And I knelt down, I remember, and I said, Lord, I've heard the most unbelievable things.
Mm.
From people that have seen so much and they cave in. Lord, can you show me in the scripture something that will keep me stable so that I don't waver, like everybody else. Mm. And the Lord spoke. I didn't hear an audible voice, a man's voice, but inside me, I heard the voice saying, go back in the Bible and read the whole story, not just a part, but the whole story of the Elijah ministry.
Mm.
So I went to 1 Kings chapter 17, started reading 18, 19, 20, and up to 2 Kings chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, up to 10. I came to chapter 10, verse 28. 2 Kings, chapter 10, verse 28.
Right.
And I said, my Lord, here is the answer.
Mm.
I said, my. And chapter 19 was the clue. From verse 15 to 17, 18.
Right.
Because Elijah, after the showdown on Mount Carmel, he took off because Jezebel was after him.
Yes.
And he ran all the way to Mount Horeb, where he hid in a cave and said, Lord, take my life. I'm no better than anyone else.
Right.
And the Lord comes and he said, what are you doing here? And he said, turn, go back to Israel. And when you go back to Israel, you find Hazael, the king of Syria. Anoint him, or it was Ben-Hadad that was king of Syria. But Hazael, you are going to anoint him king of Syria. And then you go find Jehu, the captain of Israel, and then anoint him king of Israel. And then finally, the word finally doesn't isn't written in the scripture, but then you find Elisha of Abel Meholah, and you anoint him a prophet in your place. My Lord.
Three instructions.
And when I read the story, I find out that Elijah, he only did one of them.
Right.
He found the young prophet, Elisha.
Right.
Yeah. And he anointed him. And then they traveled up and down in Israel until the Lord called Elijah home.
Yeah.
And the next two things were never done in Elijah's lifetime. So the Lord takes him home in chapter 2,
right.
2 Kings. And then you have chapter 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And I found out by my private study that Elisha must have been traveling around 10 to 14 years after Elijah was gone.
And just to pause there, imagine if we lived in the time of Elijah.
Yeah.
And looking at attitudes people have, probably you would have a group which would start questioning the authenticity of Elijah's ministry.
Yeah.
So, okay, he had mentioned he would do these three things.
Yeah.
How come, you know, he hasn't done this and that? There's the way the carnality in man won't understand the ways. The ways of God, and the same skepticism, the same spirit we see today, it's what people who were unbelievers in that time were feeding on.
That's true.
That was quite something.
So Elisha, he works for about, well, let's say 14 years, or more or less. And then the spirit calls him to go up to Damascus. Many years later. That was the job Elijah was supposed to do. But here's the next man, Elisha. And he comes up to Damascus. And Ben-Hadad is sick. And he tells Hazael, can you go and seek the prophet and ask him if I'm going to live or die? And Hazael, he takes a lot of stuff with him as a gift to the prophet. And then he meets Elisha. On the scene, and when Elijah sees him, he starts crying and weeping. And he said, why do you cry? Because I see what you're going to do against Israel. Because I see you as the king of Syria. You're going to go home and say to Ben-Hadad, he's going to live. But the Lord has shown me he's going to die. And he died under Hazael's hand. Because when Hazael came back to Ben-Hadad, he killed him. Yeah, he put a pillow over his head till he was dead. And then Hazael's job started. And he was a terrible guy against Israel. Then Elisha goes back down to the river of Jordan, to the prophetic school, where there are a lot of young students. And he picks up the anointing oil, and he goes to a person, and he says to the young prophet, one of the children of the prophets, that's what the Bible says. And he said, take this bottle and go up to the hills of Israel and seek out Jehu, the captain of Israel, and anoint him king over Israel. And the young man starts his journey, finds Jehu, bring him secluded in a room, pour oil over him, and make him king over Israel. And now, here is the completion of the three stages. Elijah, Elisha, and the young prophet. And the young prophet was only anointing Jehu. That was his job. And Jehu, when you read chapter 8, 9, 10, you know that Jehu exterminated Balaam worship out of Israel. So that was the job. So chapter 10, verse 28. This way, Jehu exterminated Baal out of Israel. And that to me was a good enough answer in 1975 when the brother said, Brother Branham cannot be the Elijah for the end time because he's been dead too long, 10 years. Well, how many years today? We're in 2026. and that was 75.
The point is, the brother's focus was looking at the person of Brother Branham, you know, fulfilling things, you know, pertaining to the coming of Christ, things pertaining to the end time. And I think that is where many times people can get it wrong, where focus is on the human vessel.
That's true.
Some years back, when we used, before we had our church building, you had taught something interesting, and it was a blessing to one brother. The brother was just coming from this courts group. And that time you happened to preach on the mystery of God. In which you had emphasized that when the Bible speaks about in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, we need to see that behind these human vessels, there is actually angelic beings, you know, to the seven messengers.
Absolutely.
And so you find that certain church ages, even before the human messenger was born, but a church age has already started out. Because that period, that epoch of time is under this angelic being. So Brother Branham is no longer with us today, but we are still living under the impact of the seventh angel. You know, so, and thank you for bringing that out. And it really takes inspiration, being led by the Spirit. And that is why when Brother Branham taught us back to the Word of God, back to the Scriptures, we can't afford to just have faith in a man. Even faith in Jesus Christ, so to speak, if I could use these words, it's not enough to just say, I believe there was once Jesus Christ. The Word of God says we need to have the faith of the Son of God.
Yeah.
The the substance of the Spirit, which was in Christ. It's not enough to just say, I believe Brother Branham.
No.
You know, I believe there was Jesus.
Yeah.
We need His Spirit to come in us. Then we become, we get to have a proper, true understanding of what God is revealing.
Yeah. And the secret was God spoke to Brother Branham through angelic beings.
Right.
And Brother Branham never did anything on his own.
True.
He was always led by the Spirit to practice, to preach, and to discern. No man can discern. We are not psychologists. We are just men leaning on the Lord, what He wanna tell us. And you started out with faith in your podcast here. This evening, and I have always looked at faith as God speaks to man,
amen,
and man reacts on what God says, and when he does exactly what God says, then God give him a testimony of faith.
Right.
Yeah. So when you read Hebrews 11 from verse 1 till the last one. If you ask yourself a question, whom of them started by faith without hearing from God first? None of them.
None
could even do it. But God spoke, they did. God spoke, they did. And they got a testimony of faith
And
because of that.
Yeah. Let's conclude it on this note, Brother Roth. In our chattings, in our talks, away from the podcast, I mean, the different testimonies we've talked about. And I'm looking at the different experiences you've had. I think one which was most outstanding, to me, it gives me a clear demonstration of what faith is. When you saw a patient in a vision, and then you later found yourself walking into that vision, so to speak. Kindly share on how that experience was.
That was when we were up in the mountains praying and seeking God. And here I see a vision. It's almost like I look in through a television screen. And I see myself walking in a hospital in a corridor. And I didn't even know where it was. I just see myself walking. And in the vision, I find a bed in the corridor with a curtain around the bed. Like so the patient would have some privacy. And then I walk behind the curtain and I look at the patient that's laying there. And when I saw, I recognized the person. And to me, it was a shock.
So all this is in a vision.
That's in a vision. I see a vision. Clear as daylight. And then I bow down and I whisper the person's name. And I see a shocking experience in the body for the person. And then slowly the eyes and head turns towards me, open up eyes, and I can see even the glaze, like there is a person with drugs, alcohol, that have been in a coma for a while, and now come back. To me, came back to life. And that was the end of the vision. So when the person opened up eyes and whispered my name, then I knew it's okay. And then later on, about 5-6 months later, maybe even shorter, I haven't really counted, but this was in the spring of the year. I had the vision, and here in the fall of the year, same year, here I get the message that the person is sick, in a coma, and they can't get her up. And I, when I heard that, I told my wife, because I had already told her the vision.
Yeah.
I said, this is probably it.
Mm.
So I jumped in a car, drove up to the hospital, found out where the person was located, take the elevator, and I walk in the door. And as soon as I walk in the door, it's almost like I walk in the vision.
In the vision.
Yeah. Mm. Not that I'm thinking about the vision, but I see myself as I'm walking. Mm. And now it's a live demonstration of what I saw some months ago. And I see the bed, and I walk behind the curtain, and I see the person exactly the way I saw it in the vision.
Amen.
And I whispered the name of the person, and I saw this shock.
You know what that tells me is hearing a testimony like that.
Yeah.
It tells me God is still speaking to his people.
Oh, yeah.
The Holy Spirit is still doing his work.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful to God for that, because you didn't act yourself into that, but
no.
The sovereign God, who knows what shall be, you found yourself in this situation, something which had been revealed to you.
Yeah.
You know, and what you do in that instance, you are walking through instructions which the Lord had given you.
That's true.
You know, and essentially, that is what faith is all about.
That's the faith.
But the trouble, of course, is many times people try to start in the spirit and hope to make an understanding of this message through arguments, their intellect, trying to court Brother Branham here and there.
Yeah.
If this message was given by the Spirit, the only way we can understand it is by the same Spirit which gave that message.
Yeah.
Time seems to be always so jealousy when we are in the podcast.
Yeah.
And before we started this, Sister Grace, you had mentioned of a testimony. Was it coming from the convention? Was that convention in the States, or?
That's when we start traveling to the States.
Okay. So, all right. We probably will talk about that in the next podcast.
Yeah.
Shalom, and God bless everyone listening. And let's look forward to the next podcast session. God bless you.
Amen.
I won't cause way.